find the Apostle Paul doing in this chapter what the Lord commanded his disciples to do when they were persecuted by the world. In Matthew chapter 10, he instructed his servants to shake the dust off their feet and move on. The Lord said to the disciples then, when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when ye depart out of that city or house, shake off the dust of your feet. And here we find Paul being persecuted in the city of Thessalonica. And consequently he moved on to Berea. And when the same thing happened there, he left Berea and he moved on to the city of Athens. Paul moved on and he kept on preaching the gospel, whether it was received by the people or whether it was not received by the people. Now, whilst we consider Paul moving from one place to another, we must not miss the fact that the churches he planted, the churches that he formed in these cities, did not move with him. The people who believed the gospel, receiving Christ by faith, did not depart when the apostle departed. They did not take up his itinerant ministry. Instead, they remained in their locality, forming and functioning as a local visible assembly of believers. Look at the emphasis in verse 10 of this chapter. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. The brethren. There's the brotherhood of believers. There's the body of believers. And they're sending away Paul. They're sending him to go elsewhere, but they are remaining. They're staying in their own locality. They're staying in their own environment while Paul goes elsewhere to preach the gospel. And then again in verse 14, when he was in Berea and persecution arose again, then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Here we see the church that had been formed, the body of believers who had come to Christ through the ministry of Paul. We find that assembly of believers remaining in their locality. And from this we learn God's plan for the advancement of his kingdom among men. Paul was sent by the Lord with the message of the gospel, and he did the initial work. He laid the foundation, presenting the gospel, and then he moved on to other places. But the church was formed. And the church was left to bear witness for Christ in its own community. That's the picture that emerges here. The apostle moving from one place to another. But the church remaining. The local fellowship remaining in order to carry on the work that Paul had commenced among them. You'll notice that the church had a task, and its task was to bear witness for Christ. The task did not belong to Paul only. It belonged primarily to the local church. It was Paul's task to preach the gospel, lay the foundation, and then move on somewhere else. That was the task of the apostle and the task of the evangelist. But the task of the church was to remain in its locality and to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever Paul wrote to the Thessalonians a little later, he commended them for their faithfulness in bearing witness to the Lord. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and he speaks in the opening chapter of that time when he came on to them, and the gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And he says in verse 6, you became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. You see what he's saying here? He had come with the message of the gospel. He had laid the foundation. But the church that was formed was left to carry on the witness that he had commenced. And we find him now saying to the Thessalonians, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. They're taking up the work that Paul left. And they're carrying on this great task of bearing witness to the truth of the gospel. Notice here the plural. He speaks of you, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. It's plural. And therefore he's speaking of the whole church, the whole assembly of believers. And in doing so, he's highlighting the fact that this is the ministry that belongs to the entire church. That every believer is to be involved in this great task of bearing witness and of spreading the message of God. This is God's way. Paul had taught them, and now they must teach others what they had been taught. This is God's plan for the community, for the locality. He raises up a church. It may be that he sends a servant instrumental in laying the foundation. But then it becomes the responsibility, the collective responsibility of the entire church body to carry on the witness and to sound forth the word of the Lord. A local church instructed in the word of God and then communicating and passing on that teaching to others in the community. That's what Paul is saying here. And that is the picture that we find in Acts chapter 17. If we apply it in our own case, it is our task as a local church, as a visible body of believers, it is our task to bear witness to the gospel, to sound out the word of the Lord to our neighbors, to our family members, to strangers. It is our task as a church to bear witness to Christ and to sound forth the word of the Lord. That is the task, and that is how God's kingdom will be advanced among men. It doesn't rest on the shoulders of one man. It doesn't rest on the shoulders of a few men. It rests on the shoulders of the entire body of Christ, the church. And the church in the local community must take up that task and spread the message of the gospel. Now, in fulfilling this task, we can learn much from Paul. We may not have the itinerant ministry that he had, yet I believe we can learn from the approach that he adopted. If you look at Acts chapter 17, you'll find what that approach was as he went preaching the gospel. You'll find in the first place that he based his message on the scriptures. In verse 2, he went in, as it was his manner, into the synagogue, and three Sabbath days he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Paul's message was not of his own making. He did not claim to have originated it. Instead, he repeatedly placed his emphasis upon the scriptures as the written word of God. His ministry brought the scriptures to men, and it brought men to the scriptures, confronting them with the fact that God had spoken to them by his written word. Now, in doing this, the apostle has left us, and he has left every local church, a very good example. If it is our task to carry on this work, to carry on what the apostle has commenced, then we must follow his lead. the men and the women, the believers in Thessalonica, followed his lead. For from them sounded out the word of the Lord. They were witnessing, they were communicating the word of the Lord. Bringing men to the scriptures, bringing the scriptures to men, showing men, teaching men, persuading men that God had spoken. And he had spoken by and through and in his word. Our task in this community is to let men know that God has spoken. The Bible is the word of God. Our message is not some new invented notion. It is derived from the scriptures. And these scriptures claim to be the word of God. The Bible claims to be the word of God. You read the opening chapter of the Bible and just underline how many times it says, "And God said." God has spoken. He has spoken by his word, through the scriptures, the written word. And Paul, wherever he went, he brought men to the Bible. He wasn't introducing new notions. He wasn't introducing something of his own making. He was bringing men to the scriptures. And that is our task as a church, to bring the scriptures to men and to bring men to the scriptures. But then you'll notice, secondly, Paul's message focused upon the central theme of scripture. In verse 3 of the passage, he opened the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Notice, Paul's theme was the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had only a limited time in the places that he visited. In some places he had more time than in others. But whatever the case, he knew he only had a short time, and hence he labored to set before the people the great central theme of the Word of God. And the central theme of the Word of God is the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember how the Lord said to the Jews of his own day, "Search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me." The scripture points to Christ. Here we find in Thessalonica what Paul did. He sets before the people the identity of Christ's person. "This Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, the one sent of God." He's identifying who the Messiah is in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And then he's highlighting the necessity of his death. He must needs have suffered. His death was absolutely necessary. His suffering was necessary. He suffered on account of sin. He's setting before the people the fact that he must die and he must suffer in order to purchase redemption, in order to reconcile and make a way back to God. Without the death of Christ, there is no eternal life. He's bringing this before the people. And then he establishes the reality of his resurrection. He must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. His resurrection is necessary because it establishes who he is. It establishes his deity. It establishes the fact that he's sent of God. Now notice what he's doing here. He's bringing the central theme of the Bible to the people. Now the Bible speaks of many issues and subjects, all of which have their own place and their own degree of importance. But Paul focused on the most important issue to sinners, the person and the work of Christ. There's no salvation apart from Christ. And sinners will never be reconciled to God unless they come to him by Jesus Christ and they recognize who he is and rest on his atoning death and believe in his bodily resurrection. In fulfilling our purpose as a church, we must be diligent not to be sidetracked. It's very easy to become preoccupied in things and in causes that are good and legitimate in themselves, but to the neglect of the main issue. Remember when he came to Corinth, he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. What Paul was saying there was that he wasn't going to be sidetracked. And the church, the local church, can very easily be sidetracked. It can get involved in things that are good and legitimate in themselves, and issues that in themselves are good and legitimate, but they're not the main thing. The main task of the church is to bear witness to the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. For that is the main theme, the central theme of the teaching of the Word of God. Paul based his message on the Scriptures, and he focused on the central theme of the Scriptures. He only had 3 weeks or 3 Sabbath days here. You see that in verse 2? 3 Sabbath days. He wasn't going to spend his time arguing about the ins and outs of prophecy or church government. Those things were good, legitimate in themselves, and they would have had their place. But Paul knew he only had a limited time. And he turned the attention of the people to the central theme, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a good example for us to follow, and we must be diligent that we follow that example. But notice thirdly that Paul directed his message according to the condition of his hearers. If you look there from verse 1 to 3, the spotlight on Paul's ministry here reveals to us the approach that he took with his audience. In the 2 incidents that are recorded in the first half of the chapter, we find that he went into the synagogue. He did this in Thessalonica, and then he did it in Berea, verse 10. The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. You see that in verse 1 of the chapter, that they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in there. And what did he do? He opened the Scriptures and he began preaching Christ. He came right to the person, the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But when you come to the second half of the chapter, when Paul went to the city of Athens, we find that he adopted a different approach. The people brought him to Mars Hill. There in verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood of all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now when you take that, you see a completely different approach. He doesn't mention the suffering of Christ. Doesn't mention the name of Jesus. And only at the very end does he speak about the resurrection of Christ. What's he doing? He's recognizing the condition of the people he was addressing. And he perceived the condition that they were in. He perceived their superstition. He perceived their ignorance of the things of God. And he had to begin by defining who God is. And speaking about God as the creator of all things. Before he actually comes to the subject of the gospel, the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was greater ignorance here in the Greeks of Athens than the Jews of Thessalonica, and therefore it called for a different approach. Paul knew it would be utterly ineffective to preach the gospel, the cross and the resurrection to a people who had not the foundation of belief regarding the very being and the very nature of God. The Jews had the Old Testament. And therefore Paul could come right in and preach about the Messiah and preach about the cross and about the necessity of his suffering and his resurrection. But these Greeks didn't have the Old Testament. They were ignorant. They were superstitious. And so he has to go right back to the beginning and establish the nature and the being of God and the fact that he is the creator and that we are accountable to him. And that he will judge the world. You see, Paul is taking into consideration the condition of the people that he is speaking to. And that is certainly something that we must consider or take into consideration also. As we seek to bear witness for Christ as a local church, there are people in this community who have a background knowledge of the scriptures and therefore we can bring the gospel to them. But there are other people in the community who know nothing of the Bible. And therefore we must adjust our approach. The same is true for age. You remember how he said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We've got to adjust our message according to the age. There is a different approach to children than to adults. We've got to take into consideration of the background of men and their knowledge of the things of God. We've got to weigh these things up. And we've got to adjust our approach accordingly. And that's exactly what Paul is doing here as he seeks to bear witness for Christ. But then notice fourthly that Paul's message received a mixed response. In Thessalonica we are told that some of the Jews believed and many Greeks. Verse 4. And some of them, that's the Jews, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Only some of the Jews. But a great multitude among the Greeks. Then in Berea, we find that they were more noble, in that they received, verse 11, the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. You see, they were willing to hear what Paul was saying. And they brought it to the scriptures. And when they found that what Paul was saying agreed with what was in the scriptures, we read, therefore many of them believed. That's many of the Jews. Notice the difference. In Thessalonica, only some of the Jews believed, whereas in Berea, many believed. And the reason I think for that is due to the nature of their upbringing. these Jews in Thessalonica were more noble. That has to do with their upbringing, the way that they were brought up. They were brought up not with a closed mind, but they were brought up with a readiness of mind to take what they received and bring it to the Scriptures, and to judge all things in the light of Scripture. And therefore, with that upbringing, with that background, with that approach, whenever Paul came with the gospel, therefore many of them believed. Also, of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Then when we come to Athens, in the verse 32, we read there, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. So here you have some who ridiculed, some who mocked. And then there were some who were inquisitive. And they said, we will hear thee again of this. We will look into this. We will give consideration to this. Howbeit certain clave unto him and believed. His message received a mixed response. That underscores to us, as we seek to bear witness for Christ in this locality, that we should expect nothing else than this mixed response. Some will believe, some will mock, some will be inquisitive, and they will want to hear again and look into this matter. There's a mixed response. But that brings us to the final thought leading on to this, that Paul was not deterred by the response that he received, whether it was favorable or not. Here in Thessalonica, there was great persecution arose as a result. Verse 5, the Jews which believed not moved with envy, took certain lured fellows of the baser sort, and they stirred up the whole city. And Paul was forced to flee. Same thing happened in Berea, when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that Paul was preaching. They sent there, and they stirred up the people against Paul. Here we find this response, this opposition to the gospel, but Paul just keeps on. He just keeps on preaching. Keeps on. Same is true in chapter 18. After he faced this mixed response in Athens, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and he came to Corinth, and there he preached the gospel. He just kept on. He was not deterred by the response that he received. God had called him to labor. God had called him to this great task, to bear witness to his son. And Paul just keeps on. Paul just keeps at it. Paul just keeps bearing witness to Christ, whatever the response. Whatever the response. And surely that is not only an exhortation to us, but an encouragement. The exhortation is, we're just to keep at it. We're keep at this business of bearing witness for Christ, of spreading the gospel. Whatever opportunity we have to speak of Christ, to bear testimony unto him, whatever the response may be, whether people mock us, whether they become inquisitive but hesitant, or whether they believe, whatever the response may be, we should not be deterred from the task or from the purpose that God has given unto us, but rather keep at it. Just keep at it, because the response rests with God. That is God's responsibility. The Lord sends forth his laborers, and it is He who gathers the harvest at the end of the age. It is our task to be faithful and to bear witness to the Lord Jesus. And whether we face the favor of the people, or whether we face the anger and the indignation of the people, or the indifference of the people, we've just got to keep at it, undeterred by the response, though it be negative. This is our task. May the Lord give us grace to follow the example that Paul has set, and may we be continually bearing witness to the Lord Jesus, and may this church be a light that is set on a hill that will guide sinners on to Christ. Let's turn to 513. 513.